If you've been in the habit of using food to deal with feelings, the thought of experiencing your emotions and using them to guide you towards making changes in your life may be uncomfortable for you. It's helpful to recognize that emotions, even strongly experienced negative emotions, are perfectly normal human experiences. Your negative emotions are a clue that something in your life isn't working and needs to be changed. When you eat to avoid these feelings, you postpone making these changes. Let's look at the emotions most likely to trigger eating, and for each, examine the thinking that's behind the emotion and develop alternative methods for dealing with it. Remember Chris, the 43-year-old nurse who was depressed and gained 20 pounds after her husband filed for divorce? It's perfectly reasonable to be sad when an important relationship is over, but Chris's thinking about herself was irrational. She assumed that because her husband no longer loved her, that she was unlovable. This thought is irrational because even if her husband no longer loved her, it doesn't mean that she's unlovable and no one else could love her. Thinking of herself as unlovable is an example of labeling, one type of irrational thinking. Likewise, it may be uncomfortable to learn to live alone after being married, but it's irrational for Chris to assume that she will always be lonely in the future. This is fortune-telling or jumping to conclusions, which is another type of irrational thinking. Chris learned to substitute more rational thoughts. She recognized that even if her husband no longer loved her, she still had qualities that someone else would find lovable. She accepted that it was difficult to get used to living alone, but even though it felt strange, it wasn't always unpleasant. Sometimes she enjoyed the solitude. Besides, it would be a mistake to assume that she would never have companionship in the future. When she changed her irrational thinking, her mood improved and the urge to snack decreased. If you're a depressed eater, examine the types of thoughts that bring you down and make you want to eat. Do you take normal sadness and assume that since you're unhappy now, the rest of your life will be equally unhappy? Or if you've made a mistake, which is only human, we all make mistakes from time to time, do you then attach a negative label to yourself so that you think of yourself only in terms of the mistake and lose sight of all the things that you've done well? If you continue these types of irrational thoughts, you'll continue to be depressed and then eat to make yourself feel better. Instead, challenge your irrational thinking and substitute more rational thoughts. You can remind yourself that there's a reason why you're feeling sad now, but even if you've had a significant loss, you'll gradually come to terms with the loss and feel better. Or if you think you've made a mistake, recognize that you would forgive others for making a similar mistake so that you can forgive yourself and learn from the experience so that you don't repeat it. Changing your thinking may take a little time. To speed the process, you can use one of the most effective antidepressants known to medical science. Get some physical activity. Now, before you think that you don't have the time, or that you hate to exercise, or that you're just too lazy, that would be another example of labeling yourself, suspend the excuses and consider the countless studies that have shown that physical activity, even if it isn't strenuous or intense enough to get an aerobic benefit, physical activity lifts the mood and improves self-esteem. So you don't have to lift weights or run a marathon to get the psychological benefits. Just get out of the chair and walk for a half an hour. Or put some music on the stereo and dance around the living room. Or rake leaves in the yard, wash your car, or do some other chore that requires you to move. If you think that you don't have enough time, recognize that being depressed makes you less efficient. It takes more time to do your work when you're depressed than it would take if you weren't depressed. So even if you take some time out for activity, you may still get more accomplished. So to summarize, if you're a depressed eater, get some regular physical activity and examine your thinking to replace irrational labeling and fortune-telling with more realistic thoughts. But if you're a lonely eater, you may need to add some additional methods. Recall that loneliness is a feeling resulting from a lack of satisfying relationships, regardless of how many people may be physically present. Frequently, loneliness and depression go together, so you might need to use some of the same methods to tackle loneliness. For example, if you're alone and feeling really lonely, it would be irrational to jump to the conclusion that you'll never have any satisfying relationships, and equally irrational to label yourself as a loner or as unsocial. Instead, recognize that lonely feelings and the need to eat will decrease as you develop new relationships or increase the depth of the relationships you currently have. How do you develop closer relationships? Let's assume that you're interested in someone you know casually. Maybe they're a neighbor or just someone you say hi to in the elevator. You like this person, but the conversation never gets past casual chit-chat. To deepen this relationship, someone will have to take a risk and reveal more about himself. So instead of waiting for the other person to do it, what's keeping you from taking the lead? When the two of you are together, in a relaxed setting, you can share a confidence or offer an opinion. It doesn't have to be your deepest secret, but it can be an opinion about something that you're both concerned about. Usually, this will move the conversation beyond the typical small talk about the weather or sports scores. As this process continues over time, you'll feel more comfortable being yourself, the relationship will deepen, and you won't feel as lonely. For example, Allison, the 21-year-old college student who thought of herself as a loner, took a chance and asked Tom, her lab partner in her physiology class, if he wanted to get some coffee during a break. After the usual discussion of homework and the upcoming exams, she described her fears that her grades wouldn't be good enough to get her into medical school. Tom had similar fears, and as the semester progressed, they found they had more in common and enjoyed spending time together. Now, let's consider the thoughts and feelings behind anxious or stressed eating. Remember Margot, the successful executive who was anxious whenever a situation tapped into her insecurities? Despite these fears, she was clearly a highly educated, resourceful, and accomplished woman, so it's very unlikely that she'd go back to the poverty she experienced as a child. Even if she lost her current job, she'd be able to find another. It's irrational, jumping to conclusions, to think that she'd be poor. Margot is also illustrating another type of irrational thinking common among emotional eaters, and that's all-or-nothing thinking, black-or-white thought. Even if she lost her job and had difficulty finding another job that paid as well, it's unlikely that she'd sink into poverty. She might have to take a lower-paying job and cut back on some luxuries, but she wouldn't be poor. If you're a habitual dieter, you may recognize all-or-nothing thinking. People who are continual dieters usually think that they're either on a diet or off a diet. When they're on a diet, they don't eat any snacks or desserts. When they go off their diet, they feel like they can eat whatever they want. All-or-nothing thinking about diets is irrational, since it's unlikely that anyone will stick to a diet perfectly. So if you're an anxious eater like Margot, review your emotional eating records to see the situations that make you anxious. Perhaps it's a social situation, like meeting someone new, or going to a party when you don't know a lot of the people there. Or it could be a type of performance anxiety, like when you have to take a test, or you're working on a difficult project at your job. Stop for a moment and examine your thinking about that situation. Ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? In a social situation, it's possible that you might meet someone who doesn't like you. It would be irrational to conclude that you're unlikable or that everyone else that you meet won't like you. On the other hand, if it's performance anxiety that's causing you difficulty, let's say in a class that you're taking or a project that you're doing at work, it's irrational to label yourself as incompetent and then become anxious and give up. Anxiety will interfere with your performance, and no matter how much you eat, you'll have more difficulty completing the task. Instead, ask for help, or take the task that seems overwhelming and break it down into smaller, more easily accomplished steps and tackle them one at a time. While you are changing your thinking about the situation, you can also learn to control your body's responses. If you're anxious, you can feel the changes in your body, and sometimes the way that your body is reacting is unexpected and can be frightening. For example, if you're afraid of going to the dentist, your fear might cause you to change your breathing patterns while you're sitting in the dentist's waiting room. Without realizing it, you might take rapid, shallow breaths that will alter the supply of oxygen to your brain, and as a result, you may find yourself getting lightheaded and feeling faint. This is uncomfortable, and if you don't understand why it's happening, you might misinterpret these changes as evidence that something is seriously wrong, or even that you're losing your mind. Instead of feeling panic, you can learn to control your anxiety by using breathing and muscle relaxation exercises or meditation to bring your body back to more comfortable rhythms. I'll briefly describe one of these exercises, but if you're listening to this program while driving, you might want to fast forward this section and listen to it when you get home.